by sharing with you my favorite topics to preach about. Number one is salvation. Number two, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number three, healing. Number four, the gifts of the Spirit. Number five, God's promises. Number six, the church. Number seven, the ministry of Jesus. And number eight, last but not least, the topic for today, revival. I love to preach about revival. I've titled this message, Revival, Let It Begin With Me. After a citywide revival had concluded, three pastors who were involved in the event discussed the results with one another. The Methodist minister said, "The revival worked out great for us. We gained four new families." The Baptist preacher said, "We did better than that. We gained six new families." The Presbyterian pastor said, "Well, we did even better than that. We got rid of our 10 biggest troublemakers." I like that. "Pastor Jerry, why are you pushing so hard for revival?" Let me share another story with you. When you see a tree broken over in a windstorm, it's easy to think that it was the wind that caused it to fall. But if you look closer, you often discover that insects have been at work for a long time, making the tree weaker and weaker. It really wasn't the wind that blew it over. The other trees around it withstood the wind. It was a slow decline of strength as insects nibbled away month after month, year after year, that caused that tree's demise. That's why we need revival, folks. Amen. Lord, let it begin with me. Let it begin with me. I want us to sing first verse of an old hymn. I brought my hymn machine, okay? All right? Let's do this. You ready, Vivian? Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Amen. Give yourself a hand. Come on. Sevilla D. Martin lived from 1866 to 1948. She penned that song, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." I want to tell you her account of how this song came to be. "Early in the spring of 1905, my husband and I were sojourning in Elmira, New York. We had a deep friendship for a couple who lived there by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle, who were true saints of God. Mrs. Doolittle had been bedridden for almost 20 years. Her husband was an incurable cripple who had to propel himself to and from his business in a wheelchair. Despite their afflictions, they lived good Christian lives, bringing inspiration and comfort to everyone who knew them. One day, while we were visiting with the Doolittles, my husband commented on their bright hopefulness and asked them for the secret of it. Mrs. Doolittle's reply was simple. "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." The beauty of this simple expression of boundless faith gripped the hearts and fired the imagination of Dr. Martin and me. The hymn, "His Eye is on the Sparrow," was the outcome of that one singular experience. Brothers and sisters, this story tells of so much joy from two people who were bedridden and wheelchair-bound that if anyone would have ever deserved to feel discouraged, it would have been the Doolittles. Amen? Yet their lives brought inspiration and comfort to all who knew them. Do you have someone, let me just ask you this, do you have someone who's been an inspiration to you? I hope you do. Someone who has overcome great obstacles or done amazing things despite their handicaps. When we see that in others, we may realize how little we do with what we have, or how much more we really are capable of doing. Now, it's a sad fact of life today, but there are a lot of discouraged people out there, maybe in here, trying to live life through the roadblocks. But let me remind you this morning, with everything in me, that you, if you know Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, then you have reason to sing. You have reason to sing. Listen, folks, there is truly nothing in this life that should keep us discouraged when we consider how blessed we are as God's children. Well, sure, things happen. Problems come and go. We all have them. There's nothing, though, in our lives that can't be overcome with the Lord's help. Amen? Can't be overcome with the Lord's help. He is an overcoming, death-defying, body-healing, problem-solving, grace-giving, all-forgiving, all-comforting, amazing, good God. Amen. Amen? And He loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally. He described that unconditional love earlier in Romans chapter 8. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Let me get some water. Singing dries me out. This altitude or the singing. As Christians, we of all people should be joyful or happy in life. In fact, we should be ecstatic. After all, we've been forgiven of all the sins we've ever done and ever will do through the precious grace of Jesus Christ, who was sent by God to save us oh so long ago. And saints, if what I have just said is true, you can't help but wonder why in the world aren't more people able to wrap their heads around this life-giving, life-changing message that Jesus has delivered to us. Amen? A message that was so vital for mankind that Father God was willing to give up His one and only Son so we could have it. Wow. God knew that by sending Jesus, it would ensure that His death on the cross would forever pay the debt necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. Everything we have, everything we enjoy, everything positive, Everything wonderful that's ever happened in our life, we owe to the selfless act of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, you and I don't fight for victory today. We fight the devil from the winning side of victory. The victory has already been won. It matters not what adverse situation you encounter. Jesus has been victorious over it. Amen? Let me say that again. It matters not what adverse situation you encounter. Jesus has already been victorious over it. Amen. His Eye is on the Sparrow was written in 1905. Not many wonderful so-called necessities that we enjoy today, like cars, cell phones, laptops, planes, microwaves, electronic banking, Amazon, and I could go on and on, could ever have been imagined back then. They would have never imagined those things. Yet we find we still face many of the same things they encountered: discouragement, loneliness, fear. A definition of discouragement is to make somebody less optimistic, to make somebody feel less motivated, confident, or optimistic. When you are discouraged, you lose spirit and hope. You are disheartened. I believe that discouragement is at an all-time high and may be at the root of so many of our mental health issues today. Countless folks struggle with work or lack of work. Others sense that they are losing ground after years of striving, while many are simply numb from fighting battles in Satan's assaults. The answer to all the world's problems, of course, seem obvious to me. How about you? Typically, when we have problems in our life, the first thing we do is look for the manufacturer to fix it or correct the problems. Amen? Amen? God is the maker of everything and everyone, and He is the one who can fix our world, whether it be our personal world or the world in which we live. Amen. He's the one that can fix it. And even though we all agree that our world is rapidly deteriorating around us, we still have faith that His grace and favor can turn any situation around. Amen? Amen. God has already made promise after promise to His children and to all who will listen, and there is not one promise that He has failed to keep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our problem is that many of us just fail to have a relationship strong enough or deep enough to believe for His intervention in all things. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 13 says this: "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Verse 12: "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Verse 13: "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." The answer is right there for the whole world to see. It's always been there, and it always will be there. Seek God. Seek God. Search for Him with all your heart. But, we will try to fix things on our own. We will try to fix things on our own. And when that doesn't work, we will attempt to search out every other avenue of help we can find. If nothing works, after we've tried everything else, we seek God. How absurd is this? Crazy. crazy, especially for a Christian. Let's seek God, saints. You would think, after what has happened over the last few years, that there would be lines, very long lines, at every church in America. Amen. Yeah. They'd be there every time the doors open. Obviously, they're not there. We've got a lot of room in here this morning. You would think that with the violence, the drugs, the alcohol, the family issues, problems with our youth, the lies and immorality in government, laws that are just being formed now that will hinder the basic rights of moral individuals, the inflated cost of everything we use and depend upon to live, and the threat of nuclear war, that people would be flocking to God in droves to receive His help. You'd think that. Yeah, you would. Amen? Amen? But not so. What makes this so scary is that the world got into this mess because it left out God. Right? Yeah. And the people still believe that they can do a better job than He can with their future. It didn't work for the children of Israel when they were wandering around the desert looking for the promised land for 40 years when a journey could have been completed in 2 weeks. It didn't work then. It still doesn't work today. Christians all over this land are saying we need revival. And they are right. We do need revival, but revival will only come when we get our focus back on God. However, most Christians don't really get involved. Now listen to me. Most Christians don't really get involved until it's a full-fledged movement. Then they want to get involved. Right? Amen? It becomes exciting because nothing draws a crowd like a crowd draws a crowd. Yeah. Amen. Now listen, we can't expect to inspire revival by just talking about revival. It won't happen. Revival happens when people like you and me become willing to respond to that little word, all, A-L-L. All our soul, all our mind, all our body, and all our spirit, every fiber of our being, that's how we will spark revival. The Bible declares in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Has the Christian community become so complacent that we cannot give our all to see what God will do? Besides, we have excuses. We're too busy. We don't want to. We don't feel like it. We have other plans. Or we simply want to leave it to those who we think are more qualified than us. Now, the Bible gives us an example of someone like that. Someone who thought their personal agenda was more important than God's plan. Let's go to Jonah chapter 1. Starting with verse 1. Jonah chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying in verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Anybody ever run from God? Amen. When he asks us to do something, our first reaction, I think, usually, let me back up. Let me go the other way. Let me come up with a good excuse. Through the years, I've noticed when I ask people to do something, they say they got to pray about it. They're not going to do it. Because what that means is they get time to come up with an excuse. They think about it. We run from God, don't we? Try to hide out. Well, it doesn't work. There's lots of Jonahs in this world, and each one gives us a myriad of reasons as to why they shouldn't be the one to give their all to Jesus. They fail to see how they could be used in making a difference in the lives of those around them. Perhaps God will use someone else. After all, what could I possibly do? I'm just one person. I'm already doing a lot. I can't do everything, you know. And if I did, I wouldn't have time for you know who. Me. There's an old song that went like this. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. Hallelujah. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you can spread His love to everyone. Amen. You want to pass it on, right? Pass it on. However, here's the problem. We are too afraid that our evangelism will oust us from the group. It'll segregate us. No longer would we be considered cool in the minds of others. Peer pressure, what others think about us, has become a major issue in the self-esteem of generations and generations of people. Amen. Let me tell you what's not cool. Someone going to hell is not cool. Right? It's not cool, folks. Now listen to me. There are countless numbers all across the nation that can tell you what one spark will do. Last year, many of our states experienced the worst forest fires in their history. And the fires all started with a spark or a small flame that was caught by the wind and ignited things around it. Now, we may all recall the story of Jonah and how God changed his life by putting him in a fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. While Jonah was in this precarious position, he finally came to his senses and began to pray. It was in the belly of that fish that God touched Jonah's heart. Soon he was regurgitated onto the seashore where God spoke to him again. Years ago, this comedian named Mike Warnke, he had a deal on this, and he said Jonah was bleached completely white by the stomach acid of that fish, and he walked around with seaweed hanging off of him, and who wouldn't repent when he saw it? Jonah chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. So walking, it would take you 3 days to get from one side to the other side. Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. What did the people do because of one person's faithfulness? They believed. What did they do? They believed. They believed. Jonah gave his all. Finally. Jonah gave his all. And the rest, the results, were up to God. They were up to God. The entire city of Nineveh experienced a great move of God. In chapter 3 and verse 10 of Jonah, it says, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." God was able to accomplish amazing results through Jonah. It only took one person saying yes to God. One person saying yes to God. God did it then, and he's still willing to do it today. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Remember this. If the name of Jesus will be lifted up, he will draw all men to him. Jesus had already done the hard part. He conquered sin and death once and for all. All we do is lift up the name of Jesus. It's not like we have run an entire marathon in one day. The Bible simply says we are to run the race. But it's talking about running it for our entire lives, running the race. If Jonah's simple obedience to God accomplished something amazing, can you imagine the results if we would all get involved? Amen. Come on, I'm more excited about this message than y'all are. Hallelujah. What if we all got involved? Yeah. Praise God. We just step out in faith and God makes the difference. He always makes the difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one?" Verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." God gave the increase. We have been given the greatest opportunity in history of the world. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior have been set free from our sinful lives and promised heaven and eternal life. But before we go there, we have the opportunity to proclaim the truth to others, to share the love of Jesus, to tell our families, friends, loved ones, and all who will listen about the Lord's saving grace. Amen. To throw them the eternal lifeline. To offer them the same life-changing experience someone offered us.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, we already have in our possession the answer to the entire world's dilemma.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Now, do you remember how you used to be in school when you knew the answer to the teacher's question? And I'm talking about that time before peer pressure said you weren't cool if you spoke up, you know. You were like, "Teacher, teacher, I got it. I got the answer. I know it." Then she picked somebody else, that's right. Well, I want you to know you still have the answer.
Yes. Amen.
And God picks you.
It's an on-fire relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Knowing God, serving God, and having an intimate relationship with Him through His Son Jesus is still something to be excited about. Still, that's why in this song, his eye is on the sparrow. The best part and the most important part The most important part is the singing part. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free.
Yes.
That's it. Folks, if God's eye watches the sparrow, how much more assured are we that He's caring for you and me? And when our relationship with the Lord is secure and He is blessing us and ministering to us, confirming to us the promise of an eternal home, how could we who have experienced such an amazing enlightenment not want to share it with someone, everyone, at every opportunity? How could we not? Why is it that folks like to be the first to tell a good secret, except when it comes to the gospel? It's no wonder why the world doesn't want what the church has to offer. They already think they have it. Others need to see something different in you and me. When we show up, there should be an excitement in the air.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
I can't imagine anything being exciting about me, but when I show up, there should be excitement in the air. Christians should be identified by their what?
Joy.
Their happiness. Their excitement. They should be identified by those things. Hallelujah. Remember this song, I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
I believe the question that the world's asking is, where is the church's joy? Where is our joy? Joy is a very important part of our testimony or witness. Joy should simply overflow in the way we live, interact with others, help our neighbor, lend a hand, give hope to the oppressed, and share the message of Jesus. Joy should just be there. Christians should be an inspiration to others.
Hallelujah.
Amen. An inspiration. When our lives reflect Jesus, then those around us will want what we have. They will want it because they don't have it. Amen? Then we can offer them Jesus. Jesus. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is there anyone in here this morning that doesn't need some strength? If you need strength, what else do you need? Joy of the Lord. You don't need to worry when you talk to someone about Jesus. The Holy Spirit would do the work. He would do the work. Just share the gospel, but share it with the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Share it with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you will be another Jonah. And you'll be amazed at the results. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible, I haven't read the whole book of Jonah in a long time, but it says he goes off and gets mad. He didn't really want God to do a miracle there. He had his own personal opinion even after God put him in a fish. But he had to be amazed at the results. He had to be amazed at the results. Folks, time is so short. Bible prophecy is happening every day right in front of our eyes. Happening all the time. So there's really only one thing that matters in this world, and that's what we do for Jesus. Do we want a revival that will heal a hurting nation and bring countless numbers of people to know the Lord? Of course we do. Of course we do. Then let it begin with you and me this morning. Let it begin with you and me. Let it be your constant prayer. What's on your mind? What you keep, going back to in your thoughts. And Lord, send revival to this land and let it begin with me. Amen, folks. Amen. Just takes a spark, right? Just one person. It's one person. For some reason, and I haven't figured this out yet, but for some reason, Jesus, the Father's plan, I guess, but Jesus wants us to speak for Him. He wants us to continue His ministry. Amen. He wants people healed. He wants people saved. He wants things changed. So he's given us the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He's equipped us to do the things that Jesus did. And He said that you will know that you're His, by these things, by the love you have for people and by the abilities that He will give us. And folks, what a privilege. What a privilege. And, one of the things, I guess, that put me into ministry was that idea that if you have anything from God, and we all do, how do you set on it? How do you not do something? How do you just let time fly and one day hope to go to heaven? There's a world that needs saving. I can walk out my driveway and look left and right and across the street, and I can see lots of folks that need to hear about the Lord. Oh, I got one over here that goes to Calvary Church. I've got a one across the street that's a struggling Baptist, and I got that's it. That's it. Have I done my part? Probably not. Probably not. Lord, forgive me for that. Let me be able to talk to Him. Let me be able to share. And what scares me a little bit is that our society is getting more and more separated, more and more to ourselves. If you haven't noticed lately, they'll drive in the garage and close the door. We've got big old 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot wood fences. So we don't see our neighbors, and they don't see us. Come on. Things have changed. But the message that God's asked us to give hasn't changed. Hasn't changed a bit. I read a statistic yesterday that 70% of New England is unchurched. Not New England, of England, is unchurched. They predict within just a few years, America will be just like it. 70% of our people will be unchurched.
That's sad.
What's it going to take? It's going to take revival. It's going to take each one of us putting out those sparks, right, that ignite. The Holy Spirit's there. He's ready.
And the children. What about the children?
What about the children?
Amen.
Breaks your heart. Breaks your heart. I don't know. Let revival start with me. That's the name of this message. Let revival start right here. I cannot inspire you to have revival start within you, but Lord can. The Lord can. And say yes to Him, please. Say yes. Let revival start here. Amen? Let's pray. Let's stand together and we'll pray. I thought this was going to be a light message, and it turned out to be heavy. Hallelujah. Lord, thank You for this message. Thank You that revival can start with each one of us, Lord God. It can start with all of us. It can start with just one of us, Lord. I ask that You just encourage us, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, lead us into a recommitment to You. Let us give our all to Jesus. Let us have a revival within ourselves that spreads to the people around us. Lord, there are so many things that can discourage us. But Lord, we have to look to You and grab hold of that joy that is our strength. We're not going to make it in this feeble little old body. We've got to have You, Lord. So Lord, equip us for Your ministry, Lord. Call us. Put a call on our hearts, Lord God, to be separated, to stand for the Lord, to reach out with the love of Jesus to people. Lord, we thank You that the right equipment has been put in us. And just let that expand. Let it grow, Lord God, so that we can just minister to others. And we give You thanks, Lord God. Let revival start with me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hug some necks and shake some hands, folks. God bless y'all.